And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, hello there. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Today is President's Day, and for my money, it's the goofiest holiday that we have in the United States because a whole bunch of people have no idea what we're celebrating today, and it's just very strange. This has bugged me for years. First of all, nobody knows how to spell it. Is it President's apostrophe S, or is it S apostrophe, or is there no apostrophe? Briefly, when this Monday holiday law was approved by Congress, and we're talking about four decades ago, 1970, almost 50 years ago now, and it was signed into law, the third Monday in February was designated Washington's birthday. There is no President's Day in the law, but it came to be called that, and then some states officially adopted the President's Day name. Pennsylvania is one of them. There's about six or eight. But in other parts of the country, it's Washington and Lincoln Day. Mm-hmm. It's Alabama. I think it's Washington and Jefferson Day. How Thomas Jefferson got in there, I have no idea. Some folks think we're celebrating all the past presidents. Some folks think it's Abraham Lincoln. It's just crazy. Is it just me, or is it silly to have a holiday where nobody knows what you're celebrating? Happy President's Day. Coming up on the program today, we're going to be talking about what I think is one of the really, really great opportunities to continue lifelong learning. It's the Institute for Learning in Retirement, ILR for short, through Slippery Rock University. We have two individuals with us here in the studio today that kind of serve as public relations people for the Institute, and that's Tom and Verna Call. Nice to have you here today. Nice to talk with you
again.
Great
to be here.
Thank you, Dave.
The reason we're chatting is because the spring session, Tom, of the Institute is about to get underway, right?
Indeed it is. In fact, a week from today, anyone can register for a class or sign up. If they're members, they won't have they can do it now, but it will be open to the public as well, and we'll talk about how you can do that. Maybe I should start by describing the organization a little bit.
Just what I was going to ask you. Mm-hmm.
We are nonprofit, member-driven. We hold, for lack of a better word, we hold classes. They're taught by experts in their field. Now, the experts might be professional people. They might be self-taught hobbyists. They might be retired Slippery Rock professors, but they know their stuff. And most of the classes just have one session. Some have two or three. And we also offer day trips. Most are not too far away. We often form carpools once in a while. We charter a bus. And we call it the spring term when our classes and trips run March through May. And we call it the fall term when they run September to November. So certainly snowbirds and summer vacationers are able to attend, and anyone can join or take a class. Even though our name says ILR and the R stands for retirement, you do not actually have to be retired to join. I should add, most of the people are retired. They're the ones that have the most time to pursue these kind of topics that interest them. And you can find out about them from our catalog. We publish one at the beginning of the spring term and one at the beginning of the fall term.
Well, it's kind of like, when you're going to school. You have the fall semester and the spring semester, except, Verna, There are no tests, right?
Oh, thank goodness.
You don't take a test.
And there's no correcting of that either, of a test.
It is, in the purest sense, it's learning for the sake of learning.
Right.
Learning about something that you're interested in.
And you were saying about presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking there are two, I think, good classes related to that this spring. In the footsteps of John Wilkes Booth, following his, how he ended up where he did and what happened. Kind of, you know, and we know it's the assassination of Lincoln. The other one is just below it on our list, JFK assassination. And this one is with the local connection. So I think if, you know, when you're a kid or student in school, you learn all these highlights. But what's really neat about Institute of Learning and Retirement is you can actually go deeper into subjects that you always wondered about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some of the information on these? And these are by people who have knowledge and experience.
It's done in a very relaxed atmosphere.
Very much.
As you said, there are no tests.
The John Wilkes Booth class is taught by someone who's well known here in Butler. It's our local historian, Bill May.
Oh, I know Bill, yeah.
Yep.
And if anybody has been to some of his lectures out at the park or at the Civil War Roundtable or some of his walking tours, we all know how well prepared and well versed he is in the subjects he teaches.
And this is an area where there are a lot of Civil War buffs.
Oh,
in our region, I found out over the years. Somebody asked me just, a couple of weeks ago, and I forget how it came up in a conversation, why did John Wilkes Booth assassinate Lincoln? I said, well, I can tell you what I know. He was a Confederate sympathizer, and it was, you know, the Civil War had just ended, and, you know, twisted mind that he was, that was his rationale. That's about the extent of my knowledge. Except I know that he was shot by federal troops when they hunted him down
several
weeks after the assassination of Lincoln.
And here's another little twisted one with presidential in it. We have a woman who has done, she's a professor. She had done intensive information on Shakespeare in many different ways, but especially in the political end. So she has one this time. It's called Shakespeare, Presidential Playwright.
Ah. That's intriguing, isn't
it? Yes. So I'm saying we come up with really, I think, interesting type things. And I will say this, too, that we have, I counted them, 85 different trips and classes this spring.
Wow. The catalog, Tom, that you referred to, I've got one in my hand here. It's like 37 or 38 pages, so it's extensive. Mm-hmm. Is this available online, too, do you know?
It is. There's actually three ways you can access the catalog. One is probably obvious. You can call the phone number, which is 724-738-1604. And you may end up leaving your name and address to get one because we only have one person staffing the office. And that's the printed catalog, which I personally like because then I can flip back and forth through it several times. But to your question, yes, you can go directly to the website. I'll give you that name in a minute. And on the website, there's a red button to click to see it. Of course, the website also has information about how to join or to sign up. And then the third way is to email. And again, you would leave your name and address. So the website is www.ilretirement.org, because it's I-L-R, but the retirement word is spelled out, ilretirement.org. And the email is info, at ilretirement.org. So the instructions are there, and the catalog is available.
What's the cost to take a class?
It's about $70 a term. So for the spring term, you've got a choice of the 85 classes and trips, Verna mentioned.
Now that's to become a member, right? Of the
You can get 12 classes and plus bonus classes beyond that will cost you only if there was some kind of other cost related, like on a trip or something.
Well, what about if you're a non-member and you just wanted to take like one class?
You can do that too.
A non-member is welcome to try it out. Choose a class of interest, although there are a couple that are only open to members. Choose a class of interest. There's certainly no obligation. If you did join for your $70, what you get is the opportunity to take 12 classes or trip, but you're actually not limited to 12, because once we're in the membership registration now, once that's done, then there's no limit. We just hold off till we see which classes are filled up, because it's very frustrating to sign up just to be told the classes are filled. So sign up for 12 now if you're a member, and then sign up for more. And if you're not a member and you think this sounds interesting, or maybe there's only, it's hard to imagine, there's only one subject you're interested in, but if that's the case, or if you're very busy and you don't have a lot of time, then take one class. Just take one class.
And it's usually $15.
I was looking through the
catalog. It might be an exception here,
and
there, but it's mostly $15.
Yeah, it's almost without exception. If you're a non-member and you want to take one of the classes, $15. So I tell you what, I look through every time your catalog comes out, I just start glancing through it, and I say, oh, that would be interesting. Oh, that would be interesting. This one caught my eye. Camp Reynolds in World War II.
Yeah.
I wonder, is that like a POW camp?
Well,
or?
Good guess.
Good guess.
It's in Mercer County. It was, I can speak to this because the manager is going to repeat this. He taught it one other time a few years ago, so it's a memory test. But it was a processing center. We were processing troops through it. And then as the war got underway, they did turn it into a POW camp. Mm. Yes, we had German prisoners of war right there outside of Greenville in Mercer County.
Wow.
And the things we have learned locally because of some of these classes there's a class on McConnell's Mill State Park, and there's another one on Moraine State Park.
It's 50th anniversary.
That's right. This year's the 50th anniversary of Moraine State Park.
That's
There'll be a lot of people listening who can probably remember when they finished the dam on Muddy Creek and Lake Arthur started to fill. And it actually, as I understand it, it filled faster than they had predicted. And so they were able to open up the park, and then there was a Boy Scout jamboree or something there early on, too.
And, you know, it was a natural place to have a lake because it once was a lake during the Ice Age.
Yeah, Glacier Lake.
Glacier Lake. Yeah.
If you're joining us a couple of minutes late on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn, the President's Day edition, welcome. Certainly nice to be able to chat with Tom and Verna Call. Verna, you're going to be teaching a couple of these classes, right? What are you teaching?
Well, I do a lot of with Tom, traveling, and I've also been for years a amateur photographer. Mm-hmm. I love doing those type of things. I'm getting better now with PowerPoint in doing the backgrounds, thanks to our granddaughter in part, because she's almost 13 and she's just very into that. So helpful to me. Now I've learned a lot about it. But anyways, the one I'm doing this spring is on Canadian Rockies, which are different from the ones in the U.S. So if you've been to those, the Canadians is another one altogether.
When did you travel there?
Last fall. We were there just after fall began, and we actually experienced some snow and in some of the areas we were in. So
I can remember, and if I had to bet, it was when I was in elementary school. We're talking a few years ago now. Mm-hmm. There was something called the Weekly Reader.
Oh, yes.
Like
I remember that.
Elementary school newspaper of sorts.
Oh, it was fun.
Something like that. But there was a picture in there of a passenger train going through the Canadian Rockies, and it had moonroof. It was like the top of the car was plexiglass so that you could see. Do they still have those?
Yes, we have the Rocky Mountaineer is one of them, and that's when we went on for 2 days. and you stop at a place and you go off, and then you come back on again. So during that 2 days, you're on that train during the daytime, and they have delicious food, and they have that moon roof that you can, I mean, it's just the whole wall to wall. You can see things. You can go off the back if you want to take some photography differently and things. And we also, early trip, we flew into Calgary. We enjoyed the Calgary area. Then we went outside of Calgary, went to a place where we can get on a helicopter and take a helicopter ride over the Rockies, which was spectacular. We got to Banff and went up a gondola that takes you way up above Banff and the Rocky Mountain view from that. And then we went to the, later we were at Lake Louise and places like that. We went out on the ice fields, and it was snowing out there. It was wild.
Did you go the whole way to British Columbia?
To Vancouver, yep.
Where do you hop on board that train? Anywhere across continental Canada? Or?
Well,
They have four routes.
They have four different routes. And so ours was Jasper, where we started. And it was a two-day trip from Jasper to Camp Loops, and where you stay overnight, and then on to Vancouver.
When you're discussing this in your class, you'll be showing some of your pictures, I assume?
It's a photo diary of the trip. I keep records of these things. I keep notes. I do extensive reading that I do anytime I take a trip. And so now I can share that with others, and I do it in two sessions, an hour and a half each. And then I have two times, so that people who can't make my first one can come to the second one, which is met on two different days.
You can tell she's still pretty excited about this trip talk.
I'm getting excited listening. You know what? I mentioned, you know, we had this limit of 12 because classes filled up. Well, her classes typically fill up. So we schedule it twice. So, and again, the limit is only because we just want to get a handle on that before we start turning people away, because we never want to turn people away. Right. And her photography skills are such that she's taught a class in photography, but you can imagine her application of these to this magnificent scenery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It will be. And some of the regular class people have said, you know, I'm older and I've got medical conditions. I can't travel so much, so I'm traveling vicariously through your classes.
Yeah, because they always ask me when I'm doing the class, where's your next one going to be? You know, so they get excited over our classes.
Oh, did you say you're teaching another class too?
Yes, I'm teaching another class. And this one is related to what I got my doctorate in, which a lot of these classes are with background of knowledge or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this one is I got mine on the spiritual care of those with the dementia. So now I'm doing a class on helping people with the issues of it and the different forms. It's fascinating how we've grown in our knowledge. When I got my doctorate back in early 2000, I did my research around 2002, 2003, and 2004, and actually graduated with my doctorate in 2006, or 2005, correction. But the thing is, though, that we only knew a few different types of dementia at that point. Now we know many more, and how they interact, how you can have one like Alzheimer's, which is the major one, but you can also have the one that's supposed to be the second major one, which is vascular with strokes and things like that. And you used to think they were separate. Now they realize people have Alzheimer's, they also can end up with strokes and have that on top of, and others. And the CTE, which is a big thing now with those play football and traumatic brain injuries. By the way, when you hear about what has happened over there on that time there was with Iran and the bombing that was in Iraq, they thought nobody was injured. Over 100 of them had concussion injuries due to those bombings. Yeah. And some of them may even have some permanent damage from that as
these
well.
These are American soldiers you're
the American
about.
Soldiers I'm talking about, yeah.
So those just a couple of classes that Verna's going to teach. Tom, you're not teaching anything in the spring semester?
No, I have. I've got other duties as assigned. And one of the things that I always look forward to, of course, is looking at all the catalog offerings. And you mentioned about we're kind of a hotbed of Civil War interest around here. We do have a class about female soldiers and Canadian soldiers who participated in our American Civil War. Once again, we may not know so much about John Wilkes Booth except the basis. Well, now you can learn more. I don't know if any of us realized there were Canadians and female soldiers in the Civil War. I for one, didn't, but I read the blurb, and I think that's one I'd be signing up for.
Didn't know that there were women.
Yeah.
Here's a class on C.S. Lewis, The Truth About Angels. Budapest and Other Adventures. By the way, later on the program today, we're going to be talking about travel in some European cities. I just give you a little program note. It'll be coming up a little bit later, second half of the program.
Okay.
Andy Steeves, who is, get this, the son of Rick Steeves.
Oh.
You know, the...
yes, I know. Yeah, I've seen him on TV. I don't know him personally, but yes.
He's seen a lot of his still travel, on PBS dogs. A lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, his son is now following in his dad's footsteps.
Wow.
And has published a book specifically on... some of the European capitals. So we'll be chatting about that with him a little bit later on the program today.
How did I learn about fireworks? Pyrotechnic marvel. And that's not far from here that some of those fireworks are made.
So Newcastle. Hotbed of fireworks.
Hotbed, yes.
Yeah. It is about the production, what goes into them, how they're distributed. I think that sounds interesting, too. Well, that's my trouble. I think everything sounds interesting.
That's the limit.
What about some of the trips that are available, Tom? You said there's going to be a lot of those in the spring semester.
Well, we have some close by, like an alpaca farm right here in Renfrew. The police canine training facility is one of those. Maybe are too young to remember Packard cars, but a lot of car aficionados know them. The National Packard Car Museum is in Youngstown or somewhere in close to it in Ohio. That's going to be one of the trips. Ida Tarbell, the famous journalist and muckraker of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, unusual for a female, her house in Titusville is going to be on the tour, one of the trips. May not even have realized she was from that area.
I did not know, no. Well, you know, there's a finite amount of information. I was just reading a story, wire story a couple of weeks ago about, in today's day and age with the info glut, you have to decide what you need to know. You can't know everything.
I mean, and people discover new gifts. We have a class that's a writer's circle kind of a class. And that one, people have come to that class are even between the classes want to still write. And they've printed out a booklet of things they have written in the last class. So, I mean, it's just wonderful.
We've offered classes in I guess you want to say expanding your skills or self-improvement. We've often had a calligraphy class. We have one this time about acting for seniors, taught by a retired professor of theater who keeps his hand in things. We even have a quilting circle and book club. Film aficionados, there's usually a film class with some kind of theme. Well, so a lot of the offerings are quite varied, something for everyone. Typically, classes are history or health, travel, hobbies, self-improvement, current events. Larry Berg often teaches a current event class. So
here's one on Normandy to Germany in the footsteps of a World War II vet. That would be great. 19th Amendment, fighting for the vote. This year is the 100th anniversary of the women getting the right to vote in the United States, 1920. So that's very topical.
And helpful things like guaranteed income in retirement, health care planning in retirement. Things like that, just helping people that are planning on those things and how to go about it. They even have some of these where you travel to different restaurants and enjoy that and have luncheon tours.
It's purely social, but there is a lunch and learn where it's accompanied by a lecture.
Right.
And then there's the lunch out group that they just go
try
to different restaurants.
Yeah.
Stamp collecting, beginning genealogy, if you want to trace your family roots, your family tree.
Right.
Folks, I'm just going down the list here and picking a couple of these topics that pop out at me. The entire program, the entire list of offerings is available in the Institute for Learning in Retirement catalog for spring of 2020. Not only the classes, but the social events and the trips. By the way, speaking of social events, there has to be a social component to this. You will be meeting people, if you pick one or two of these classes, you'll be meeting people who have at least some of the same interests that you do.
Yes.
What a great way to make new friends.
Oh, yeah. And we also have a wind-up picnic at the end that people can join us at.
We have two events for the whole membership
Christmas.
That are purely social, one in December and one in June.
June.
And frankly, some of my best friends I've met through ILR because we just keep – showing up, seeing their faces in the classes.
Now we hang out with them.
Obviously, they were interested in what we were interested in.
Where are the classes held? Does that vary from place to place?
It does vary, but 99% of them are in Slippery Rock.
Yeah.
There is a building right at the Slippery Rock Municipal Parking
Just
Lot.
Just off the campus.
So since classes are in the daytime, and since the parking lot's right there, parking's never an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's 165 Elm Street in Slippery Rock, and it's a building that is leased to us from the university. We used to have a stronger connection with the university, but as we've gotten a little bigger and as some of the requirements from the state have changed, it's a very loose kind of affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great source for us to recruit instructors because they do this on their own, and several of them are retired, but they just love their subject and they know it so well. But we've actually had an active faculty member from time to time teach something.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I stress, not everyone is connected with Slippery Rock, but that's where the classes are.
Well, I think the greatest thing about it is that it's, you know, it's learning because this is something that you're interested in learning more about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, a mandatory class that you may have had back in high school that you didn't care about or hated or whatever.
There's not many that even have homework or anything like that.
Yeah,
I mean, there's sometimes, like, if you're writing things, you want to work on them and off on your own, you can. But basically, it's
learning for the sake of learning.
I've never had any homework from these classes, but I tell you what, I have gone home and then I've searched in the library or on the web for more information because I got so interested in what I was hearing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know more.
So some of these classes, and most of them meet just once, some of them meet two or three times.
Right.
They'll be getting underway very soon, Verna?
On March the 9th.
Far down the road, yeah.
Right, and in fact, we do have ones that are like our foreign films or something like that that actually can go on for 6 weeks or more. But most cases, it's usually, to make it worth your while, they're not going to be any half an hour classes or anything like that. They're mostly hour and a half. They usually have at least, you know, potentially one or two.
Well, two reasons. One is if you're going to drive up there, you probably don't want to stay half
an
hour.
Even,
but I think the bigger reason is the instructors are so full of information that they really want to keep going. And we tell them, you know, an hour and a half is good, an hour is okay. You know, of course, you got to allow for what it takes.
Right, and the book club one, that one goes on many more weeks, too. And that would you consider homework with because you get the book.
Read
a book. But it's to expand in a lot of ways, and we all need that in our lives. And I think that for older citizens that, you know, used to think you just rock in a rocking chair after you retire or whatever. No. A lot of older adults now want to have ways to learn more about the world around them, things they never got to ask, didn't happen in the schools, and they wonder about. And that is part of this, is the wonder
of it. From what I read, it's healthy to keep the mind active, too.
Oh, well, that's one of the things I will point out when I talk about dementia.
I kind of thought that would be up your alley.
And there's also a class particularly on foods and things to do to help maybe not prevent it as much, living longer with these things.
Hey, folks, take a look. You know, you can order a copy of the print catalog, or you can check it out online. It's easy to do. All the classes are listed there.
And the instructors telling you what their backgrounds
instructors.
Are.
If you want to become a member of the Institute, you can do that, and then you're able to take classes for free. And that costs, what, $70, did you say, Tom? Or if you don't want to spring for that and you think, well, maybe I'll just try a class or two and see if, you know, I like this, you can take an individual class, which is generally $15 for non-members. A couple of them might be a little bit more than that, but most of them.
And try it out.
Yeah.
And that's basically what a lot of people do. They start with that, you know. So
your membership is growing a little bit, you told
me. It is. We've been trying to make people aware of who we are, because there's really nothing exactly like this. As we've already said, a good, healthy life includes being well physically, well spiritually, and well mentally. And, you know, it's just fun. We look forward to it. Here it is, January and February, and I'm waiting for March to start, not necessarily because of the weather, but because I want to get knowing more things.
Well, gosh, thanks for stopping by. First of all, it's good to see the two of you again. We chatted some time ago, but it's nice to see you. Tom and Verna Call visiting with us here today with information on the spring series of classes, a whole bunch of them, and trips, too, offered through the Institute for Learning in Retirement. Thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
Good to talk with you. Coming up, we're going to talk travel with Andy Steves. Stick around. We'll take a break here for a couple of messages. Back with more of It's Your Turn for a Monday, right after these words.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
How do you choose a funeral home? Reputation? The facility? A general feeling about the organization itself? Should you consider cremation? And of course, cost. I know you have many questions, so let Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler help you with some of the answers. We know our business and how to serve the Butler community. After all, we've been here for more than 90 years. A third generation of the same family is dedicated to this service. Thompson Miller provides complete services with dignity in the funeral home, at graveside, and for entombment. Thompson Miller is here to help you through the planning process with advice, counsel, experience, and compassion. Call us, and we'll help you make these important and sensitive decisions. 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or visit our website at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, because we care.
Going to be talking travel, particularly European travel. Listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, Dave Malarkey is my name, and our guest visiting with us by telephone today is Andy Steves. Andy, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes.
Dave, how are you? Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, pleased to talk with you. Very pleased to talk with you. You have a book, Andy Steves, Europe, City Hopping on a Budget. This is quite an extensive compendium here, Andy. There's a lot of information in here.
There's a ton of information. It's absolutely packed with not only kind of logistical tips on how to make the most of your trip, but also advice on how to bring the right mindset to experiencing all that Europe has to offer. It's a beautiful continent, and I did my best to encapsulate it in this book here.
Well, you should be familiar with the mindset of European travel. Your father is Rick Steves, right?
That's right. So, you know, he, our family would always go visit him over in Europe each year. And so I had the wonderful opportunity to grow up traveling with Rick Steves as your dad. But, man, when Rick Steves is in Europe, it's definitely not vacation. It's hard work. And so I had that kind of that work ethic instilled, and I also picked up some tips on how to really get beneath the surface of some of these amazing cities in Europe.
Well, we had the opportunity to talk with your father a few years back. Nice to have you with us. Are you going to continue this? Are you looking for this to be a series of guides, Andy?
It's Europe's a big place. It's hard to keep track of it all. But this book really came from me running a tour company for the last 8 years. Since 2010, I've been putting together weekend and week-long break trips for students studying abroad over in Europe. My company is called Weekend Student Adventures, and I've designed 15 different three-day itineraries, and that's what really, for the tours, and that's what really provided the foundation, the skeleton for each of the chapters in the book. So we have all sorts of stuff going on. Tours at WSAEurope.com, podcast, this book. We got some great social media. So yeah, I'm gonna keep plugging away.
Now, one of the things that you emphasize in your book is to have fun when you're traveling, and you don't necessarily have to spend a ton of money. And that was important to you, that philosophy, right?
That's right. Again, when I was growing up traveling with my dad, what I really loved was his passion about connecting with local cultures. So I've really tried to emulate that every step along the way. And the good news is, the more you connect with the local culture, it's, you know, you're spending money like the locals do. You're going to local markets. In Rome, I have there's this incredible market just steps away from the Vatican that I highlight in the book. And if you go and do your shopping there, you'll be rubbing elbows with Romans who have been there for generations and generations. So I've really focused on how can I not save money by going cheap, but save money by going local. And that's been a really successful approach for our tours and for this guidebook.
Well, let's take an example. You have, gosh, must be close to a dozen European capitals that you detail in your book. Let's talk about Paris. That's a place where a lot of folks dream about going. And you say that you have to be very efficient when you're visiting in Paris because there's just so much to see. You really have to kind of prioritize, don't you?
The thing is, whether it's Paris or any other city, you got millions of tourists coming to these amazing places, and they're all trying to see, guess what, Mona Lisa in the Louvre Museum and the Eiffel Tower. So you got all these people coming to these cities, and it's not like there's more and more sights to see in that city, so it's just getting more and more dense. What I try to do is help my readers be as efficient with their time as possible. So if you got to see the Mona Lisa, if you got to see the Eiffel Tower, be sure and make reservations ahead of time, because there are companies, a whole ecosystem that's sprouting up over companies monitoring when public tickets become available. They buy them all out and then resell them at three times as much. So I recommend the direct official sites to make these reservations. They're also big cities. So, you know, it's just important to explore a neighborhood at a time and not zigzag across town. That way you save time and money as long as you efficiently experience these cities on your visit.
I can understand making reservations if you wanted to dine the Eiffel Tower. I didn't realize you needed reservations for the Louvre. Is that true every day?
You can make reservations ahead of time. We always make reservations for our group, but that really, there's reservations, and then there's just a, not really a secret entrance, but there's a few different ways you can get into the museum physically. But and kind of the main entrance always has a line, but if you go through a metro exit, which drops you off directly into the underside of the museum, that way you can find usually shorter lines. So whether it's make reservations or just visit smartly, we have the tips in there for you.
Ah, yes, the metro. That's the underground Paris subway system called the metro. And that takes a little bit of practice to get handy with riding the metro, doesn't it, Andy?
That's right. But again, back to experiencing a city, how the locals do it. Millions of people travel on the metro system every year, and it works so well. Whether it's Paris or London, even Rome, if you can imagine, with just two metro lines, but a third one on the way, it really helps you get around town. And metro tickets, no matter where you are, usually cost about €1 to €2 or €3 each. And that saves money compared to a taxi or a black cab, for example, in London. I would highly recommend getting familiar and pushing yourself to use local transportation, whether it's a metro, bus, trams, whatever it is, to, again, experience the city like a local and save that money on your visit.
I haven't been to Paris for a while. Maybe they've changed things, but at all of the major metro stations, once you got down underground, they had a kind of an electronic billboard there, and you could press a button to see where you wanted to go, and it would light up to tell you which trains you needed to take and where you had to change trains. They still have those things?
Yes, there are dozens of metro stops in Paris. So some have them, some don't. The more touristy ones towards the center, they have a whole, if you can imagine, a whole kind of almost like a switchboard, but it's like a big map of Paris with light up routes throughout with the major landmarks kind of called out on this map. And you push a button for your starting city or your starting stop, and then you push a button where you want to go. And so that really helps you kind of, especially when you're beginning, begin to connect the dots, because you can get almost anywhere in Paris with a maximum of 3 transfers, but mostly 2. You can get almost anywhere in Paris.
Can you do Paris in 2 or 3 days if you wanted to see the highlights? I mean, is that possible?
Whether it's Paris or, again, any other city, these are, you know, amazing capitals of culture, you know, that have so much history, so much to see, so much to do, so much culture to experience, and so much fun to be had. I really like to talk about the tasty food or nightlife districts. So to answer your question, there's so much to see. You can scratch the surface in 2 or 3 days, barely. You can take some photos. Maybe you can practice out your French a little bit. You can have a crepe. But when you can spend lifetimes in a city like Paris. So it's the thing about my book is I'm just trying to meet the consumer, meet the budget traveler where they're at. The thing is, we Americans tend to have 2 to 3 weeks of vacation each year, right? So I know just how valuable every day is on the road. And so I've just tried to build my approach around that.
Well, you need to, listeners, check out a book like Andy Steeves, Europe. I mean, there are some places in Paris that everybody's heard of. The Cathedral of Notre Dame, of course, made famous through literature and a lot of movies. Everybody's heard of that. You might not have heard of Sacré-Cœur, which is a beautiful church in the northern part of Paris. But, boy, I would recommend it's worth a stop, because you climb the steps up to the front entrance to that church, and you turn around and you have this incredible panoramic view of Paris because it sits high on a hill.
Mm-hmm. And the Sacré-Cœur is absolutely beautiful. That means Sacred Heart in French, just so people understand. And it's kind of located right in the Bohemian and also kind of historically red light part of town, red light district part of town. It has the Moulin Rouge just a couple blocks away. So it's this interesting contrast, this juxtaposition between this beautiful church and the interesting surrounding neighborhood. But I love the Sacré-Cœur because it's built with a stone that naturally whitens in the rain. So the rain actually cleans the church, so it just gets whiter and whiter. And that's one of the reasons I love it. It's absolutely beautiful. You can go in and there's amazing mosaics, and then step outside and have this incredible panorama of Paris with the Eiffel Tower off to your right, Notre Dame straight ahead of you in the distance, and lots of fun and interesting things going on the steps leading up to the church.
It is interesting about the stone, because most of the older cathedrals and churches, they've gotten dirty over the years. Notre Dame, for example, but Sacré-Cœur it almost glistens in the sun, and you can be in different parts of Paris and look and see it high on a hill there far away. It's an easy-to-find landmark.
That's how I like to navigate around Paris. Like, I kind of drop mental breadcrumbs for Sacré-Cœur, for Eiffel Tower, for the stuff that really pokes out on seeing it from any part of the city. So that's how I navigate as well through town.
Good point. Quick break, folks. We have a few more minutes that we can chat with Andy Steeves. We'll pick up our conversation with him here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after this break.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back. If you're just joining us on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, my name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Andy Steeves. We're talking about his first book, his first travel guide. It's called Andy Steeves Europe, City Hopping on a Budget. So you detail the big cities, Paris, London, Rome. You also visit some other cities that maybe aren't quite so well known. I mean, people have heard of Prague or Budapest, but, do you know a lot of landmarks or sites you want to see straight off the top of your head in Prague or Budapest? I dare say most people would not have that information, Andy, until they take a look at your book.
I have a hard time not being biased, when I'm researching and allotting my days to spend checking out and updating these cities. I've lived in Prague when I've been in Europe for the last 6 years. So it has a special place in my heart. Both Prague and Budapest straddle a river, and they have a beautiful castle up on the hill. There's all sorts of interesting alternative nightlife. You have significant Jewish history in both towns. So I've kind of geeked out a little bit about studying how the two cities reflect each other. But the one thing you can count on, and it's going to be substantially cheaper than cities like Dublin, Amsterdam, London, and Barcelona and Rome, just because they're not yet in the Eurozone. That means most of Western Europe is on the Euro. In Prague, you're on the Czech crown, and Budapest, the Hungarian forint. And both of those, you can find beers for $1.50, $2. You can find meals, full meals, for $4, $5, or $6 if you know where to look. So that you can have more fun and save money in these cities like Prague and Budapest.
If you're going to go to Italy, folks, sure, you want to go to Rome, you want to go to Venice, don't skip Florence. There are some incredible museums there, including a chance to see up close and personal Michelangelo's Statue of David. Boy, that's just an absolute showstopper, isn't it, Andy?
It definitely is. And, I majored in, I did my undergrad at Notre Dame, and I was studying industrial design. And so half of my degree was art history. So I spent a lot of hours in sleepy afternoons in our history lectures. And man, when you get a chance to get out of the classroom and actually go to Europe and experience these incredible Renaissance masterpieces like Michelangelo's David or even the Duomo, the famous cathedral there in Florence, these are all Renaissance masterpieces that really revolutionized the continent of Europe, and it all arguably started there in Florence with greats like Michelangelo, exactly. So, and Donatello, Bernini was in Rome, but that's a little bit later. But, you know, it's so cool to go and see this sculpture, this architecture, this art to get away from the textbook and really experience it.
If you're going to go to England, you certainly want to stop in London. Don't skip Edinburgh, Scotland. A wonderful city to visit, and it's, the main sites are walkable. What's that, the Golden Mile, the Holy Mile? What is that thing in Edinburgh, Andy, that runs from the castle on down to the Holyrood Palace?
Mm-hmm. You're close. It's the Royal Mile.
Oh, okay.
The Royal Mile. So it leads from the castle down to the Royal Palace. No, and it's really cool because you mentioned that it's pedestrian, that it's walkable. It absolutely is. That's one of the highlights about Edinburgh, is it's so compact. It was one of the first the city today is built on the medieval foundations of Edinburgh, and you can see just how tight these windy kind of alleyways were, and you can go on these great walking tours where the guides really kind of bring to life and help you visualize what life would have been like 500 years ago in Edinburgh. And it would, I got to tell you, it'd be smelly, it'd be damp, and it wouldn't be all that much fun. but the nice thing is we can go today and just imagine. So that's a great city too. Of course, brought to world fame by the Harry Potter series. So there's a cemetery where J.K. Rowling got some inspiration for the names of her characters. You can go check out a school that was definitely inspiration for the boys' school in Harry Potter, and a number of things that you can check out there in Edinburgh.
We're talking to Andy Steeves, author of Andy Steeves Europe, City Hopping on a Budget. Do you have information, Andy, in your book on where to stay when you're in these European cities and where to eat?
Yeah, so each chapter, it really breaks down into a template where I recommend a 3-day itinerary, and then I talk about the key sites, recommended food venues, and then hostels and accommodation, and then nightlife. So when it comes to accommodation, I recommend a handful of hostels in each city that I like, but I know that it's so popular to travel on Airbnb these days, and I know a lot of other travelers will just use TripAdvisor to find what's available when they want to go. So I spend some time as well recommending neighborhoods and sharing tips on how to find the best listings, no matter what site you're using. So I can't say at all, but what I try to do is just help people know how to select good accommodations, because you know that can make or break your trip. You got to rest up well when you're traveling around. So I know that's an important part of the adventure.
Any information on day trips outside of these cities?
So when you go to Berlin or Barcelona, for example, for the first time, again, I know that 90% of visitors want to see the same things. So I recommend those sites and show people how to do it quickly and efficiently. But then if you do have 4 days or 5 days, I highly recommend seeing less cities, but really spending more time in each of those cities that you're lining up for your next adventure. For each of these cities, there's always some really fun, interesting day trips. For me, spending my time in these cities, I'm always looking for a way to get some fresh air. I like to go on a run when I'm traveling, and so I call out parks and hills and hikes that are a great way to break a sweat when you're traveling. So When it comes to day trips, there's all sorts of options, and I also call those out in the book.
Any maps of these cities, or at least the central business districts of these cities, Andy?
Yep, they're all in there. So, and the first part of each chapter is a full spread map of the most important parts of the city and where the neighborhoods where I call out the most recommendations. So, all of our venues are put on there. The thing is, this book is meant to complement and work with and help the traveler who has a smartphone in their pocket. It's incredible the technology that we travel with and just walk around with in our smartphones. And so I know that people are going to be using maps when they travel, but the thing is, sometimes your phone dies. And the great thing about a guidebook is that it never runs out of batteries. So that way you can use your phone to make, you know, on-the-fly reservations or find a nearby restaurant, but you can always come back to the guidebook once you kind of learn my style and understand the types of venues I like to recommend. And then you can use those as kind of checkpoints throughout your city visit, again, whether it's a restaurant or a museum.
Folks, this is a thorough guide, about 425 pages, and yet it's compact, Andy. I like that. It's actually smaller than a Reader's Digest, so you can easily toss this in your bag or your backpack, and you hardly notice that it's there.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that's one of the first things people say. The content in the book is great, and it's lasted for, I wrote the first edition a couple of years ago, and then this latest edition, I was researching it, and the cool thing is I put in a million steps researching and checking out all these different venues across Europe, and when I was doing my rounds, I kept this book in my back pocket the whole time. So the cool thing is it really is pocket size, but it has all the information to get you started for sure on experiencing Europe here.
The cities that are covered in Andy Steve's book, listeners: Amsterdam, Barcelona, Berlin, Budapest, Dublin, Edinburgh, Florence, London, Madrid, Paris, Prague, Rome, Venice. That's a baker's dozen. Boy, it must have been tough to figure out which ones you were going to talk about, Andy. Hard to narrow it down, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, it's tough to narrow down. I wrote this book with the understanding that most people these days might come to Europe on a first or second visit for, say, 2 weeks, and rather than taking the slow train from Paris to Rome, they'll just hop on a cheap budget flight. And so I really highlight how to find those cheap budget flights that we've all heard about, but have heard kind of mixed reviews, of course. And so that's something that I worked really hard on putting together. In terms of picking these cities, it is tough. Krakow, for example, is a great town in Poland. Lots of fun. But unfortunately, I didn't make it into the lucky 13. So, you could do Lisbon. You could add any number of different places. But these, I figured, were the heavy hitters for anybody's first time to Europe. And I'm pretty happy with the selection. We'll see if it changes in the future, but these 13 really definitely will keep a traveler busy.
For some people who have been blessed to travel to Europe a number of times, that's terrific. But, you know, for a lot of folks, a trip to Europe, Andy, it's a once-in-a-lifetime, maybe twice-in-a-lifetime thing. They could really benefit from your book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I hope so.
Andy Steve's Europe, city hopping on a budget. Andy, nice to talk with you today. Really appreciate the time. You got a great book, by the way. Tons of color pictures in there, too, listeners, in addition to all the color maps. It's really a good guide.
It's very pretty. Thanks so much, Dave. I appreciate it. Hopefully you get to use it on an upcoming trip soon.
Mine's a little dog-eared already. I've been thumbing through
it. Well,
happy travels. Nice to talk to you. So long now.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Understand my ups and downs. There you were, with sweet love and devotion, deeply touching my emotion. I want to stop. Thank you, baby. I want to stop. And thank you, baby. Yes, I do.
How sweet it is to be loved.
Feel so fine.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
I close my eyes at night, wondering where would I be without you in my life. Everything I did was just a bore. Everywhere I went, it seems I've been there. Thank you, baby. Oh, yes.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
It's just like sugar sometimes.